accession number 20816, Reel 1.
George Fraser, Reel 1, where were you born, please?
Elgin, in the northeast of Scotland.
Which year was this?
1922.
Did both your parents come from Elgin?
Yes.
And did you grow up and have your schooling in Elgin?
I done all my schooling in Elgin until I joined the army.
Did you join the army before the war or during?
No, 1941.
Did you hear Neville Chamberlain declare war on Germany?
Yes, on a Sunday morning.
How did you feel about the news?
What shall I say? Quite excited about it because I had intended joining. Well, if I can go back, all the time I was at school, all I wanted to do was join the RAF. Because I was very interested in engines and engineering and that type of thing. When I left school, I became an apprentice motor mechanic. When the war started, I changed completely. All I wanted to do then was drive a tank. So as soon as I was 17, 18, I volunteered to join the tank regiment.
Before that, in 39-40, had the war affected you at all in Elgin?
Not the physical side of the war, but it affected the family in as much as my one of my brothers was territorial in the Seaforth Highlanders, and he went across with the BEF in end of 39-40. And he got very badly wounded and captured by the Germans. This affected the family quite a lot. And probably one of the main things I wanted to have a go.
Can you tell me about joining up, please?
Yes, it's a bit of a fiasco, actually. As I say, I volunteered for the tank regiment, or I later found out it was Royal Armoured Corps. And had the medical, and in between playing football, I broke my leg. So when I was asked to send papers to enroll, the doctor had to send a letter saying I couldn't travel with the broken leg, etc., etc. And when it was healed up, the doctor again sent a letter of confirmation. And I got a notification telling me to report to Fort George, which is the depot for the Seaforth Highlanders in the north of Scotland. And went there and told them I'd volunteered for the tank regiment and said, "No, no, you're a Seaforth Highlander now." And I stayed there doing my training. Of course, I put in for a transfer straight away. And my eldest brother, who was already in the tank regiment, he was a regular, tried to claim me out, etc., etc. But I did go through all the infantry training and became a carrier driver, Bren Gun carrier driver, before I got my transfer.
How did you get on with the training at Fort St. George?
I loved it because I've always been very physically fit, and the actual training, etc., was no real hardship because I'd had a lot of background from my brothers and my father, who'd all served, and I knew a lot about drill and weapons and so on. Also, having been a Boy Scout, going out in the wilds of Scotland, camping, etc., etc., I got used to that type of thing, so no problem.
What do you remember happening next?
Pardon?
What do you remember happening next?
After a few months, the transfer came through, and I was sent to 57th Training Regiment at Warminster, where I done the tank training.
What did that involve?
Of all things, if I can go back to the Seaforths, when I finished the infantry training, they decided, because of I was a mechanic and that, they transferred me to the carrier section, and they taught me to drive, which I already had done anyway, being a motor mechanic, and started off with 1500 weights, 1300 weights, onto the Bren carrier and the Lloyd carrier, and that, and became a proficient carrier driver. When I got to Warminster, they didn't really know what to do with me. So I joined a squad who'd been there only a fortnight and went through all the square bashing again, which was no problem. And because of my mechanical background, they decided to make me a driver mechanic. And they taught me to drive again.
Any incidents that happened to you at Warminster?
Not really. I know one of the driving instructors, one of the sergeants there, so he says, it'd be a waste of time teaching you. He said, you've done it all.
What was the next step?
The next step was come down to Bovington and the gunnery school at Lulworth to finish off the actual training. The driving and maintenance at Bovington and the gunnery wing at Lulworth. And from there I went on a draft and went abroad.
Can you tell me about your journey abroad, please?
Yes. We sailed from Gourock or Greenock, up on the Clyde, I can't remember which one, on a Dutch liner, very nice. And because there was only a small squad of Royal Armoured Corps on there, we we got some of the officers' quarters. We slept in bunks instead of on the tables or underneath the tables, which is very nice.
And did you, what was the route that you took?
All the way around the Cape, stopped at Durban for 2 or 3 days to refuel and revictual and all that type of thing. We were allowed ashore, so many at the time, and the South African people were very, very, very nice. Took us to their homes, fed us, baths, the black servants done all their kit and what have you. It was very nice.
Did you have any idea where you were going to?
Well, we'd been issued with pith helmets, and the guess was it was either the Middle East or the Far East. I mean, but we crewed up in the Middle East.
Did you have any preferences to the Middle East or the Far East?
Not at the time, but since, I'm glad we went to the Middle East rather than the Far East. I was talking to people who've been there and reading about it. It must have been terrible.
And from Durban to where?
Alexandria.
In a different ship?
No, same ship.
What's happened on arrival in Egypt?
We'd done a bit of training, get acclimatised, that sort of thing, and then we were all sent to different tank regiments.
Which one were you sent to?
County of London Yeomanry.
What kind of reception did you get from them?
The usual reception, rookie, no brown knees, all this type of thing. But on the whole, okay. We fitted in.
Where did you find them?
I can't remember.
In the canal zone?
No, they were further up in the desert. They must have been around the Alamein region. It was just before the real breakout.
What subunit were you allocated to within the County of London Yeomanry?
As a squadron fitter.
Which squadron was this?
HQ.
Can you tell me what your job involved, please?
Mostly maintenance, repairs.
What were they equipped with at that time?
Pardon?
What were they equipped with at that time?
Oh, it was all sorts. Whatever was available. Valentines, Matildas, cruisers. I can't remember if the Crusader was there at the time. We started getting the American tanks. The Lee and the Grant.
What was morale in County of London Yeomanry?
Very good. Very good. They were a territorial regiment before the war, and they were well knit. Everybody knew each other, sort of thing.
What do you remember happening next?
Just the breakthrough, the sand and the rocks and the flies, and Jerry outgunning us. There was a lot of talk about the German 88, but I don't think there were so many around as people make out. But the German 50mm anti-tank gun still outgunned anything we had. Until we started getting six-pounders and the long barrel 75s.
Did you take part in the Alamein battle?
Yep.
What are your memories of that?
A lot of noise.
From the artillery barrage?
Mm-hmm.
What role did County of London Yeomanry play in the battle?
Normal tank support for because Montgomery changed the tactics a bit, because in the previous battles, evidently, the tanks used to swan off on their own and look around for infantry, and there was none there. He changed it. We supported the infantry.
Did you go into action yourself?
Yeah, well, off and on, bits and pieces.
As a driver?
Yeah.
What were you driving?
At that time, we had one of the Lees, or the Honeys.
What?
Which is more or less a reconnaissance type of thing.
What did you think of those tanks?
They were okay. Nice and fast.
How much contact did you personally have with the enemy at that time?
Not a great deal, off and on, bits and pieces.
And then?
Well, when we got to North Africa and the campaign finished, we started preparing for the invasion of Sicily.
What did that involve?
Well, a lot of the equipment and that went in certain ships. A lot of the personnel went in other ships. And where possible, some of them were together. And I can't remember where we landed now, in Sicily. I know I travelled over there on a ship that was manned by Indian crew.
Were you in the first landings in Sicily?
No, no.
Whereabouts did you land?
I can't remember where we landed. No.
what were your memories of landing after you landed at Sicily?
It was sort of skirmishes all the way through. We were going round one side and the Americans were going round the other side. And the Americans, as far as I can remember, were making a race of it, who would get round to Messina first. We were actually round the at one time round the base of Mount Etna.
Was your unit involved in much fighting in Sicily?
Well, as I say, it was skirmishes mostly. Can't remember any real battles as such.
What kind of reception did you get from civilians in Sicily?
Offhand. They weren't quite sure how to take us, where we were going to knock them about or whatever.
How did
but
they...
They just, shortly after that, they... Italians packed in anyway, didn't they?
How did the troops behave towards the civilians in Sicily?
They treated them with respect. There was no animosity.
Were you still in HQ squadron in Sicily?
Mm-hmm.
What was your job in Sicily?
The same.
As a fitter?
Mm-hmm.
And then what do you remember next?
We went across to the mainland of Italy. We went across the Messina Straits. Most of the equipment went to Taranto, and we picked most of the stuff up in Taranto. And then we made the advance up the Adriatic side. This was all 8th Army.
Any specific memories from that period?
It's a normal sort of advance, resistance. We weren't too much resistance, actually. I remember the ammunition ship getting hit in the Bay of Bari, and it sunk quite a few ships around it. Remember, that was a terrific explosion. We were up on the hills looping down into the bay. And from there we advanced as far as the Sangro River, and then we were told we were going to come home.
What was your reaction to that?
Everybody was delighted, of course, but we knew why we were coming home, for the invasion of France. Montgomery wanted his well-seasoned units, and most of the 8th Army was withdrawn from Italy because he wanted them.
Which division were you in Italy?
The 4th Armoured Brigade, which was an independent brigade. We went wherever there was need.
How did you travel from Italy back home?
We handed all the equipment over to the Canadians, and then we travelled in various vehicles back down to Taranto to catch a troop ship. And when we got there, there was only room on the ship for 2 battalions, and there's 3 battalions in the brigade. So the 3 colonels had to toss up who was going, and we lost. And then we had to travel all across Italy up to Naples to catch our ship in what I can only describe as Italian cattle tracks or trucks on the rail. 2 or 3 days it took. And we sailed from Naples.
was that voyage like?
Pardon?
What was that voyage like?
Very good, actually. It was a nice ship. Again, a Dutch liner. I think it took about 12 days through the Mediterranean to... I'm not sure on that. Long time ago.
Where did you eventually end up?
We landed up on the Clyde in Scotland again.
And then?
We got on a train all the way down to Worthing. And from there we all had leave. When we came back off leave, we started getting our equipment together, being issued with the Sherman tank. And a lot of the time was spent in waterproofing and practicing landings, etc.
What method was used for waterproofing the tank?
Mostly with putting extensions on the air inlets and exhausts, etc. And putting some sort of gunge all around the bits and pieces that might leak water.
And then?
When it came the time, we all got on convoy to Gosport, where we boarded the tank landing crafts.
Were you in the landing craft very long?
Day and a night, I think, if I remember right.
What were conditions in the landing craft?
Very crowded, very Spartan.
What were you issued with for the voyage?
Pardon?
What were you issued with for the voyage?
We had the usual haversack rations and emergency rations, etc. That used to be what they called compo rations, which there was boxes on each vehicle, each tank, that type of thing, all emergency stuff.
And your crossing, what was that like?
Rough.
Were you seasick?
No. A lot of fellas were, mind you, but I was fortunate, no.
Did you sleep under the tank or where?
Mostly in the tank.
Can you describe the landing, please?
Yeah. When the landing craft approached the shore, some of the vehicles dropped off the end of the ramp and got stuck because it was too deep. So we had to make another landing. Eventually, my vehicle got stuck in the water and we swam ashore. And stayed in the sand dunes to dry out a bit, and then made efforts to rejoin the regiment.
How far did you have to swim?
I don't know. It was above my head anyway, and I couldn't swim at the time. I sort of bunny hopped ashore along the bottom.
And then you went back to the vehicle?
We went back to the regiment where we eventually were re-equipped because we lost all our gear on the ship as well.
Which beach did you land on?
between the, oh God, Gold Beach and what was the other one?
Sword Beach?
Gold and
Juno?
Juno, yeah. We were right on the edge of both, more or less, with the Canadians, mostly Canadians around us.
So what condition were you in by the time you got to the sand dunes?
Not in a very good condition, actually. Soaking wet, out of breath. That was it.
Had you been conscious of being under fire as you went ashore?
There was bits and pieces of firing going on all round at the time.
So this was on D-Day itself?
No, D1. D plus one.
And what happened once you rejoined the regiment?
After a day or a couple of days, I can't really remember now, we got some bits and pieces of kit together and another vehicle, and as I say, we were an independent brigade, and we were floating about all over. I couldn't tell you any of the places where we went.
What job were you doing in Normandy?
The same.
Were you involved in any fighting?
Oh yeah, there were bits and pieces of fighting going on, yeah.
Were you driving a Sherman?
Yeah.
What did you think to the Sherman after the tanks you'd had in the desert?
It was a much, much better tank. It was better equipped with the 75 anti-tank gun. And but the trouble was that the new Shermans they'd issued had aero engines in them. And we described them as Ronson lighters, one strike and they flared up. And Germans described them as Tommy cookers.
Were you taking many casualties?
Yeah, quite a lot. When around the battle for Caen, the other County of London Yeomanry took a hell of a lot of casualties, and they amalgamated the two together. And that's when I joined the Royal Scots Greys, because the surplus went to other units in the brigade, and I was transferred to the Greys then.
You mean there were two County of London Yeomanry units originally?
Yeah.
What were they called to distinguish them?
One was third, one was the fourth, and when they amalgamated, they called them the third, fourth county in London Yeomanry.
So which county of London Yeomanry had you been in originally?
Third.
That was in North Africa, Sicily and Normandy. Can you tell me about going to Royal Scots Greys, please?
Yes. As the transfer came through, I had a telegram from my parents telling me that one of my brothers had been killed in Normandy.
Which unit had he been in?
He was with the Seaforth Highlanders, 7th Seaforth Highlanders. I went to see the padre, told him, and he said, all right, I'll find out where he's buried and what happened, and which he did, and he took me to see the grave, and we must have been in very close proximity, because it was the first rough grave, buried next to my brother.